Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Nice to be inside where it's nice and warm and be able to look outside. The sun's shining. It's not very warm out there, though. But thankfully, we can have a warm place in our heart for the Lord. Hopefully, each one of us have come with expectation, looking to the Lord and looking back to what He's done for us and what He's going to do for us. And how He's going to be faithful clear to the end. We don't know when our end will be, but we do know that Jesus will go with us all the way. I'd like to look over into the 15th chapter of Luke, if you'd like to turn with us this morning. The 15th chapter of Luke. Maybe before we go ahead, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, as we come to Thee this morning, we're so thankful for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for each one of us. We thank Thee, dear Lord, that each one here this morning is a precious soul that is headed for eternity. And Lord, we're thankful that God was willing to give His only begotten Son, that we could put all of our faith and confidence and trust in Thee, and that we wouldn't have to perish because of the sin that was passed on from Adam. We're thankful, Lord, that Thou hast come to bring deliverance for us and to touch our hearts and give us victory. We pray today, Lord, that Thou will take the word and apply it to each one of us. Lord, that Thou will give us grace and strength and help us, Lord, to walk humbly and in the light before Thee. Help us to stay low at the feet of Jesus, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 15. And starting with the first verse there. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I believe we'll stop right there for a little while. Jesus had quite a crowd there. He had sort of the same crowd that you find in probably most churches. There were the publicans, the sinners, the Pharisees, and the scribes. the church people, the ones that were lost, the publicans, and these high church people said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." He receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And Jesus gave them that little story about the man that had lost just one sheep. He had 100, and he'd only lost one. But he cared for every single one of them. Every one of them was just as important as the other one. One of them wasn't up here, and one of them down here. They were all his sheep. And he lost just one. And 99 of them was safe in the fold. They were protected. They were cared for in the fold. But one evidently had got out and drifted away and was out there on the mountain, cold and without any protection from the wild beast and the mountain and the weather, was out there and he was lost. And Jesus, I believe, was pointing out giving a story, a parable to these righteous church leaders, that he wasn't there to set up a big machine or run a lot of machinery, spiritual or religious machinery. He was there to reach out to the lost. That's why he came. So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Every single one of them, all 100. And he left the fold. He left the comfort of home. He left everything. And didn't Jesus do the very same thing? He left his heavenly home. He came down here to a place where they despised him. They wanted nothing to do with him. They spit on him. They mocked him. They put the crown of thorns on his head and pushed it down, crammed it down in his head. They nailed him to the cross. They ignored his whatever reaction he had to the nails going in. They ignored when the spear went into his side and the water and the blood gushed out. They had no mercy on him whatsoever. And that's the devil's crowd for you, if you please. That's the ones that are following their leader of bondage. Bondage to the world, bondage to the fashions of the world, bondage to anything but humility and walking with Jesus. That's that crowd. But this man went out of the fold. He left home and he was looking for that one lamb. And can you look back and can you remember when you was that lamb? When you was that sheep, when you was that little one, and the devil told you that nobody cared about you. The scripture says in one place, "No man careth for my soul." One old preacher was preaching about some of the ones down in Peru where he had been a missionary, and he preached on that. He used that for his text, "No man careth for my soul." And he left America, he left his high-paying jobs, he left his steaks, his T-bones and his sirloins and all the rest, and he went down and ate rice and beans with them down in Peru. Why did he do it? Because he cared more for their soul than he did all of the luxury and all the pleasure and all that the world could give him. It didn't satisfy, and that's not what will get us to heaven. Station and prominence and being lifted up here in this world is nothing but, oh, to sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. And just to absorb the spiritual food until our soul is satisfied. Until we know that we have found him. That we have found that which satisfies the soul in the midst of trouble and confusion and all the other things that are around us. If we can find him and find that secret place and quit trying to fight our battles ourselves. We all of us have our battles and our temptations and our tribulations and all of those things. But if we can learn to sit at his feet and simply learn of Jesus, we have found the pearl of great price. the pearl of great price. The shepherd didn't go out there on the mountain and look around until he was cold and uncomfortable and then go home. But it says that he went out there, he left the 99, and he went out there seeking the lost until he found him. He went out there and he looked and he looked and he didn't give up. Jesus, be mentioned today, no doubt, in the foot washing service, that he went all the way. He went clear to the end until he said those words, "It is finished. It is finished." The work of salvation was done. He didn't pull back. His flesh pulled back, but he did the will of the Father. And the work of salvation was accomplished. And can you imagine that shepherd as he goes out there in the wilderness seeking for the one, and how that he sees it down there? We have a picture in our home, and it shows the shepherd on the mountain, and it's a steep, steep mountain with brambles and the whole works. And down just over the edge here was this little lamb caught in some bushes or whatever it was. He'd fallen, and there he was, and the shepherd was holding on and reaching with all of his might down till he got a hold of the little sheep, the little lamb, and pulled it back up. And here it says that he laid it upon his shoulders. Rejoicing. And that goes right along with these two scriptures, with these two accounts that says, "And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." If you came to the place where you give your heart to the Lord and you repented and give all to Him, I believe all the parts of heaven rejoiced. The angels sang and rejoiced that a sinner has come home. A sinner has come home. And he's not out on the mountains anymore. The will of the Father has been accomplished again. Jesus gave it all. He gave himself. He died. He bled. He didn't hold anything back. He went all the way for you and for me personally, each one of us. And there again I say, not one of us is above another here this morning. We're all on the same level. We're a precious soul that's headed for eternity. And he said that he would go and prepare a place for us, that where he is, that we may be there also. And that's for the saints of God, the ones that have been faithful. He's preparing that heavenly fold. Thankfully, we can be in the fold down here as one of his sheep, one of his children. And then the time comes when we lay aside these earthly physical bodies, lay them aside with all of their aches and pains and problems, and be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and caught up to be with him forever, and gathered into the heavenly fold. I remember when my wife and I, just after we were married and we were taking our wedding trip, and we had heard about the Pocono Mountains up in Pennsylvania. So we thought, well, we'll take our wedding trip up and go up through those mountains, and it's supposed to be really beautiful. And we went up to where we thought the Pocono Mountains were, and it was pretty, but I guess we were really looking for something just special, special, special. And so we drove on up through there, and then we were on up by Niagara Falls, and so we decided, well, we'll stop at Niagara Falls. We'd never been there before. And watched that huge volume of water come over and then fall down below and then boil up in white foam. And some of those people in that little boat out there, I think they're very foolish. It seemed like they was getting up as close as they could to where the falls went over. Anyway, we saw all kinds of sights. And then we decided, well, you know, we're pretty close to New York City. We were going south from there. And so we decided, maybe we'll just go down and see what New York City's like. It's probably the only time in our life that we'll ever get to see it. So down towards New York City, you know how it is. You could just sort of set your job aside and set everything else aside, and for a little while be together and just sort of go where you wanted to go. And so down we went to New York City, and I can see the Empire State Building out there, real high, sticking up in the sky. And I said, you don't need any map here. There it is. I'm going to head that way and see the Empire State Building. So New York City, we just laid our map aside and down we went. And oh, you get in New York City, the cars were just bumper to bumper, and I don't know how many lanes there were on each side. And the people walking down the sidewalks are just solid ribbons of people, shoulder to shoulder, just like a ribbon of people walking on both sides. And because of all the crime and everything in the stores, there's big bars that they push up in the daytime and pull down at night over the front of all the windows and the doors. And by that time, I was really wondering what we got ourselves into. Out to the side, here come some buses, and they were trying to get started into the lane of traffic. Finally, one of them got his nose in there and started, and then just the whole line just kept going, and everybody had to wait for the buses. And the taxis did the same way. They'd get their nose in there, and here they'd come. Then we'd always heard about the Statue of Liberty, and we thought, wouldn't that be something to go out there? I didn't know whether you could go up on it, climb up on it, or what. But we found a ferry, and we could see it out there in the bay. The Statue of Liberty, that statue with, she's holding her hand up and the torch up in her hand. And so we got on the ferry and started out around there. And we got on out close to the island where the Statue of Liberty was on. And come to find out, this ferry, all it did was just take you out close to the Statue of Liberty and swing around down and land you on the land down below. So we got to see it. We got to look at it. But we didn't get to go to the island. We didn't get to go up in it. And I told my wife just shortly after our wedding, we're getting out of this place. I don't want to be anywhere around here tonight. When we find us a motel, we're going to be as far away from this wicked place as I can be. But I had to think of the Statue of Liberty, and I wished I had been able to find. It seems like that there's a message on that. I don't know just how it is. Welcoming the people from all different kinds of backgrounds, the downtrodden, the pressed down, all of those things. Welcoming them to the United States of America, that Statue of Liberty. And I had to think of the people that have come hours and hours from on a ship across the seas. And as they came close to the United States, then the word went out, there it is, there's the statue, out there in the bay. We're almost there, the Statue of Liberty. And if it would happen to have been night, they would have maybe seen the lights lit up there, up in the torch. And the closer they got, no doubt, they were all excited and waiting, looking forward to being able to come to the United States of America, leaving their persecution behind and all the things that they were going through. This was supposed to be liberty. This was supposed to be wonderful. And then as they sailed on around and came into the bay, they may have had loved ones that had already come here that were waiting for them. And they hooked up there And there was a wonderful time of greeting one another. They made it. They made it. But what will it be like when we get home? Even the last sheep, the one sheep that Jesus went seeking for, the one that was not safe in the fold, and that he gave everything to bring that sheep home. And then to think that we were ungodly, we were without God, we were without hope, we were without anything, and yet he gave us hope, and he gave us the ability to be able to put our faith in him and our confidence in him. And then when that last great day comes, and the trump of God shall sound, and time shall be no more, and those that are ready are caught up to be with him in the air and with those that have gone on before. And then we, as a great crowd of saints, the saints of God, are taken home to be with Jesus. What a day that will be when we can sail into that harbor of rest and be there for all eternity, though we didn't deserve it. And it wasn't because of our good background or anything else, but it was because of the precious blood of Jesus. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And he made it where that every single one of us that's here this morning can make it safely home. We don't have to play church. We don't have to be just part of a machine. We can be a part of the family of God. We can be his own children. And we can give her all to him, not holding back in any way, not playing and flirting with the world, but staying close to him and allowing him to work in our hearts and our lives and make us what we really should be. Let's kneel in prayer.